Now, friends, as we come here to the third chapter of Habakkuk, we've come to a tremendous change that has taken place in the life of this man, Habakkuk. We are going to see, when we get to the end of this chapter, that this man has made a right about face. For this little book, it opens in gloom. He has a question mark for a brain. He's questioning God. And then it closes in glory with a great exclamation point. It is a high note of praise, and you will not find any more confident faith than is expressed in the last part of this chapter and, of course, the last part of the book. Now, let me say first of all that this is called, and I read now verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. This word Shigionoth, it has to do with music. Some think it would be some sort of a musical point that would indicate to a musician the way it's to be played. Some think it's a musical instrument. We had this when we were in the book of Psalms, you will recall. And it has to do with music. So the prayer is one that is musical, actually. It's Hebrew poetry, and it is a song of high praise. And it opens like this, and it says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. What a change has taken place in the life of this man, Habakkuk. His glorious experience on the watchtower and patient waiting for an answer from God has brought him into a place of real faith. Not only that, it's opened his eyes to something he was not conscious of before. And so this is a song. I would call it a folk song. It's a happy song. It is to be played with a stringed instrument. And we gather that, by the way, if you turn to the very end of this chapter, the end of the book also, read the last sentence. It says, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Now, I have a notion that this is a little note that Habakkuk put in here, how it's to be sung. And he tells the soloist that he's to get with it, that this is something that is to be sung with a stringed instrument. And today, aren't most of the folk songs sung with stringed instruments? You and I may not like some of these stringed instruments and what's coming off of them today, but nevertheless, they are used for folk singing. And apparently that's what we have here, but it's on a much higher plane than that which I hear today. And when I say I hear it, I don't listen to it, I just hear it. It's amazing that we're living in a day when we hear so much about freedom of speech. What about freedom of hearing? I'd like to have my ears protected today. Just because some vile person insists on having freedom of speech, my ears are offended because I have to listen to singing that I don't care for, and I have to hear at least a segment of a dirty song. At least it's my judgment, it's a dirty song. But he's got to have his liberty. We today don't consider that we ought to have a little freedom of our ears and not have to listen to a lot of the junk that is being passed around today. And it's the same thing that you find over in the criminal court. The criminal must have his rights. He must be protected. And over in Dallas, Texas, where I was, they had so many holdups that they put police in some of these small groceries with sawed-off shotgun to shoot these men that were killing the storekeepers. But that was too brutal and cruel because the criminal must be protected. I mean, if he's going to hold up the place, you got to protect him. You just can't shoot him down, give him a chance. But anyway, they withdrew the police. When I was over there was a cry that something be done about it. In fact, these grocerymen, small store owners, were organizing vigilante groups in order that they might have some protection. Because, you see, they were protecting the criminal. But every night, there'd be a groceryman somewhere in the Dallas area shot down. One straight week that we were there, each night. You see, when you begin to protect the wrong group, actually, it brings anarchy in our government today and anarchy in the nation. We've got the thing, I think, backwards. But this is a wonderful song. And I don't think this would be offensive to anybody's ears. A beautiful, lovely song, and it's a prayer. Now, he said, I've heard thy speech. In other words, God has answered him. God said to him, now look here, Habakkuk. I want you to stay in your watchtower, and I want you to walk by faith. I want you to trust me. Now, you think that I'm not doing anything about the sins of my people. Well, I am. I'm preparing a nation by the name of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they are going to be used as I used the Assyrians before them with the northern kingdom. They are the rod of my anger. But when I'm through with them, I'm going to judge them, and I'll judge them on a righteous basis. And then he spelled out those five woes that we have seen the past two times. And these are great national sins that brought that nation down. And God was moving to bring the nation down. Now, the very interesting thing is that here, this man Habakkuk now reverses himself. He says, I've heard your speech and I'm afraid. What's he afraid of? Well, he thought God wasn't doing anything. Now he's afraid the Lord's doing too much. Will you notice what he says here? I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. He says, Lord, I didn't think you were working. I didn't think that you were doing anything. But I see now that you're moving in judgment. And since you're moving in judgment, I want you to remember mercy. Remember to be merciful even to the Chaldeans and be merciful to your people. Before he was calling down fire from heaven upon not only his own nation that had departed from God, but also upon the Chaldeans. And now he's saying, Lord, don't forget, be merciful. Well, God is merciful, and God is gracious, and he's not willing that any should perish. And it does look like today he's not doing anything. But if today you and I could ascend to the watchtower of Habakkuk, and you and I could learn that the just shall live by his faith, and you and I could have a living faith in God today and see what's moving back of the scene. See the wheels that are turning today. You and I would, I think, be as surprised as this man. And I'm not sure but what we'd cry out to God for mercy. I'm afraid a great many Christians today have thrown up their hands about the condition of our own country, and they've just given up. We all feel that way, don't we? But may I say to you, God, I think, is moving today in judgment. But somebody needs to just cry out to him and say, oh, Lord, in wrath, as you're moving in judgment, don't forget to be merciful to us. We need your mercy. This great nation of ours needs the mercy of God today. In our arrogance, and since World War II, we've been on an ego trip. We have really had a flight of pride, being the greatest nation in the world. And now even our little gas buggies were slowed down, and We feel like that today we're almost helpless, and what would we do in the time of a major crisis? Suppose we would be attacked from the outside. How much gasoline would there be? How much of other chemicals that are so needed? How long could we really last? Don't forget, God is moving today, and I think in judgment. But we need to ask Him to be merciful to us. And you remember Shakespeare has Portia, I think it is, in The Merchant of Venice, say, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath." And we need that. We talk about showers of blessings. What we need today is showers of mercy from Almighty God. And what a reversal in the thinking of this man. At first he says, "You're not doing anything, O Lord. Why don't you do something? Why are you letting them get by with it?" Now God's let him see that he is doing something, and he cries out for the mercy of God. And today, if we really knew how much God is moving in judgment, I'm of the opinion that it would bring America to her knees before Almighty God. Now, let's move down into this very wonderful prayer that we have here. And the prayer actually is a recital of what God has done in the past history of these people. And in view of the fact that He has done it in the past, He intends to do it in the future again. That is the thought that is here. You can depend upon God because of what He has done, that He will continue to do it. Paul gave that to us as believers. In fact, it's my life verse. And it goes something like this: "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now, my friend, has God begun a good work in you? Are you confident? Well, I think you can be. He's brought you up to this present moment, has He not? And He has begun a good work in you. Well, you can be sure He will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ, until He takes you out of this world, and then you'll be in His likeness. That's a confidence, and that is the great confidence of this psalm here.